Well, good morning. So you ever had this this crucial decision to make? You go to the grocery store and you go to check out, and the cashier says to you, "Will it be paper or plastic?" Wait, I know the answer to this one. Well, this morning I had a similar conundrum, shirt tail in or shirt tail out. Oh, I missed it. Chose wisely. My mind is flooded with the pros and cons of each. On one hand, there's the voice in my head saying, "Michael, you know better than that. Tuck in that shirt." But on the other hand, you know, this is the way they're wearing it these days. And I don't want to look like a stodgy old toad. So I choose the practical reason. You know, these pants are a little tight in the waist. They don't fit as well as they used to. I think they shrunk. And so, you know, tucking it in just makes them that much tighter. I'll take every fraction of an inch I can get. So this way, see, I'm stylish and comfortable. Now I've just got to deal with that voice in my head. I want to take this opportunity to welcome you all to the inaugural edition of the gathering. This week, we're having what's called the soft opening. A soft opening is when, yeah, we're open for business, but we really haven't advertised it to the general public quite yet. And that's because we want to work out any bugs that we may have. Although I haven't really seen any, at least not too many so far. So, well, maybe one. You have your bulletin with you? The bulletin, this is the new gathering bulletin. And it all looks terrific. I'm really pleased with how our administrators handle this and put it all together. And I'm looking on the back, and on the back it has, you know, everything about our purpose, our mission, our vision, our values. And then down at the bottom it says, "Do you want me to call him to try to set something up for an early Friday lunch? Or just wait for him to call me?" I'm available for lunch on Friday in case anyone... But this is the soft opening. On Monday, tomorrow, my team, we get together again to assess how well we have done, the goods, the others that we need to address before we go for our hard opening starting next week. This week, on Monday, 15,000, I saw some of you looking up. Is the card up? Next week, 15,000 of these cards go out to, there you go, 15,000 of these cards go out to the neighborhoods within a 5-mile radius. 15,000. Let me read you what it says. Can you see up there? Oh yeah, you can see. Things I enjoy: gourmet coffee, good music, comfortable clothes, spending time laughing with friends. And on the back, now you can add the gathering to that list. They will be going out. Hopefully they'll be arriving in mailboxes. You'll probably get one yourself on Tuesday or Wednesday. In addition to the 15,000 that are going to be sent out, we have another 1,000 for you to pass out to your friends and family in the community. And ushers, you can come forward now with those if you'd like. I invite you to take some of these and pass them out during the week and the coming weeks, for that matter, as you may have opportunity. The nice thing about these cards is that they can be very casual. "Hey, I want to let you know something that's going on at a local church. Fresh new music, relevant messages, free coffee and donuts afterwards. So hope you can make it," type of thing. Next week, we're really praying, and I hope that you'll join us in praying for an influx of people. I'm praying for a response of about 0.5% to 1% of those cards that goes out. So 15,000 go out. Let's see, do the math, carry the one. We're looking for about 1% is about 150 households. 0.5% of 1% would be 75 households. So if we have 75 to 150 households, rock on. Now, many of you may know that 75 to 150 households, brand new here in the natural, is a problem. But bless God for problems like that. How many preachers do you know who say, man, we got a real problem in our church. We got too many people that are coming. We just can't keep them away. Yeah, let's have problems like that. So anyway, that's what we're praying for next week. To have a bunch of people to come and then decide that they're going to stay for a while. But this week, I speak to you folks who have been here for a while. If there is a large attendance next week, you will suddenly be the veterans. Even if you're here for the first time this week, you're a veteran. But this week, the message is tailored for you. Next week, there's going to be a lot of similar elements between what I say this week and what I say next week. But this week, it's tailored just for you. Next week, it's going to be geared a bit more for those who have come for the first time. Before we begin the message this week, I want to call your attention to just a couple of items for next week. First, engage new faces in conversation. Start the process of building relationships. Start the process of welcoming these folks into our community. Second, next week, no Cheerio magnetization. You know what Cheerio magnetization? You know, Cheerio magnetization, that's a Sniglet. You know what a Sniglet is? This is several years ago. Sniglet. A Sniglet is a word that is not in the dictionary, but really should be. Cheerio magnetization is the tendency of the last 4 or 5 Cheerios to cling together in a bowl. So next week, no clinging together. Get apart. Mingle. If you see somebody that you don't know, go meet them. Third, when you arrive next week and you decide the row that you're going to sit in, if, like, there's vacancies in the center, then move to the center so that you have some seats near the aisle to welcome new people. And if you see people walking around like they're lost, you say, here, come on, sit here next to me. Ushers, you have standing orders from me. You see familiar faces sitting on the edge? Ask them to scoot on in if there's vacancies, okay? Little things like this are often the difference between someone who stays and someone who goes. So next week, let's go out of our way to welcome these folks, okay? All right, so much for the admin notes. Let's get to business. The mission statement for the gathering is the following. One growing and diverse family, unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. I'm going to say that again. It's one growing and diverse family, unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. If you've not heard it before, you've heard it now. And you're going to repeatedly hear it until it sinks in for all of us. I want to take just I'm going to discuss this in just a few minutes, but before I do, I want to say a few words about Prague's existing identity and the values that define the Patuxent River Assembly of God. Now, we have here a new visitor's packet and the bulletin to which I already alluded. On the back of both has our commitment, the Prague's, our core values, as well as, as well as our beliefs, as well as our purpose, our mission, our vision. And I want to take a minute just to go through some of those. First, our values. Our commitment to a triune God, the Bible, praise and worship, prayer and intercession, individual ministry and maturity, to mission, to relationship, families, and genuine community, to living discipleship, to financial responsibility. Those are some of Prague's core values. Our vision statement, discipling believers into the works of Jesus. Prague's mission statement, reconciling men to God and to one another. And our purpose, loving God, loving one another, and reaching out to become mature disciples. Now, what? Why did I take the time to go over these? Well, for a few reasons. First, so you know that they exist if you didn't know before. Second, to review them again, if you did know they existed, because it's always good to review those things. And finally, and most importantly, to declare that the gathering is a part of Prague, and to affirm that those responsible for the gathering are committed to these beliefs, to these values, and to these statements that we've just read. We are Prague. We are Protestant River Assembly of God. If there has been any confusion about that in the past, there can be no confusion about that in the future. The mission statement of the gathering, one growing and diverse family unified in Christ seeking intimacy with God, is an expression of those who have oversight over this thing. It is who we are. It is what we find important. It is the thing that we will always be directing you to. It will be our compass when we're looking for direction. It will be the thing to which we aspire at the gathering. As such, the gathering's mission statement is not to replace Prague's core beliefs, values, or statements, but rather to complement them. You should also know that I am the one who's responsible for the gathering. The good, the bad, the ugly, I am responsible. If there's a belly button to point to, I guess it's mine. But you should also know that I am under the authority of our senior pastor, Pastor Clark. Katrina and I are submitted to him in this matter. Okay? Boy, it all seems so serious. Okay, with all that said, here's the bottom line. We are the Patuxent River Assembly of God. The gathering is simply a fresh expression of Prague to the community. That sums it up. All right. Well, let's get into the Word. What do you think? All right, Ephesians 4, if you would. You can turn there. One growing and diverse family, unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. Now, next week, I'm going to take this statement in its entirety. But this week, I just want to talk about two words. One is unity. The first is unity. I guess really unified, since that's the way it's worded in our mission statement, unified. So the first is unified. We are unified in Christ. Yeah, but what does that really mean? What does unity really mean? Is there unity, for example, because there is peace in our midst? Is there unity because we have chosen not to war with one another? Well, I submit to you, no. Well, why not? Well, because this is simply peaceful coexistence. What about, is there unity because we all get along? Is there unity if we're all in harmony? Sounds nice, doesn't it? But no, I don't think so. And why not? Well, because this is simply being in agreement with one another. All right, wait. So, okay, we're not warring with one another, and we even actually kind of, you know, agree with one another. But this isn't unity. Peaceful coexistence is not unity, and agreement is not unity. So what is unity? Well, I consulted the Oxford Dictionary. This is what they said about unity. The state of forming a complete and pleasing whole, or a thing forming a complex whole. Oh, that's pretty good. Well, let's see what the Bible says about it. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Okay? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So is there anyone that's been left out, been given grace? No, not one. Okay, that's verse 7. Let's jump on down to verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the love and truth, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. As each part does its work. And then 1 Corinthians 12, you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this: Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you. Okay, so this then is unity. This is unity. It is not deciding to live in peace. It is not being in agreement. It is choosing to be a part of a complete and pleasing whole. Being a part of the body of Christ. To be a part of something that is bigger than yourself. If you're going to be a part of the gathering, then I am eager to put you to work. Now some of you may be thinking, oh, there goes Mike Wagner wanting to get his pound of flesh. But I want you to understand something. I don't care about putting you to work just so I don't have something to do. I care about putting you to work within the gifts that God has given you, so that you can see the incredible increase in grace when you step out, and so that the body of Christ can be blessed by your presence. Put it another way. I'm eager to see the Lord bless you because you stepped out in faith, and eager to see the body of Christ blessed by your presence. Because when you're not here, the body of Christ is missing something, and it's lessened by your absence. If we can get you into the place, into the body that is life for you, something that excites you, then you will be blessed knowing that you're in a place in the body of Christ that no one else can fill. And the body will be blessed because a vital part of the body is in place. This, as they say in business, is a win-win situation. Imagine, if you will, a football team. The offense comes out of the huddle. The quarterback goes under center. Gets the ball, drops back the pass. The blockers are blocking. You know, the running back is picking up the blitzing lineman. Everything's going perfectly. The quarterback throws the ball exactly to the location that he's supposed to according to the play. Oh man, this is going to be a sweet play. Off it goes, downfield. Ball hits the ground, falls incomplete. Where was the receiver? The receiver wasn't there. The receiver left the field. Now, why would he do that? Well, maybe the receiver decided that he just wasn't good enough to catch the ball. Or maybe he decided he just didn't have enough talent. Or maybe he decided that after all the mistakes he had made during practice that week, that he really didn't belong on the field. Maybe he decided that despite what the coaches said, he really didn't belong in the game. And therefore, he left the field and the pass goes incomplete. Now, two things about this. First of all, this is an absurd story, is it not? And yet, don't we do the same thing when we take ourselves out of the game? Second thing is, just like that offense, the body of Christ isn't going to go very far if all the players aren't in position. Next week, I'm going to ask you to be available to serve those who come through these doors. And after that, I'm going to ask you to be available to take your place in the body of Christ, your rightful place, the place that God ordained for you, the place for which you have grace in the body of Christ. I ask you to play your position. And up, showing up on the screen behind me very soon are going to be 15 different positions that you can play. Very soon now will be 15 positions that you can play. Where's my receiver? What's that? Okay, that's all right. I got all the time in the world, right? Oh, that's right. We gotta hurry. Look at my clock. Oh boy. Well, Brandon's going up to work on it. I thank God for Brandon, that man. That man is scary good with some of the stuff he can do with electrons. Okay, we're getting there. There we go. Hot diggity. Okay, so starting with the service admin, you can see the list. Administration, hospitality, greeters, ushers, facility coordinators, parking attendants, creative marketing website. I want to say something about creative marketing. We have learned recently that we need a ministry that is solely focused on the creative, the marketing side of this. Now, say what you will about it, but I think it's going to be important. We have an outstanding church that has an outstanding message that operates truly in power. I want to make sure that we get the word out. Okay? And the website. And then ministry, teachers and preachers, shepherds, intercessors, prophetic altar ministry. Next. The youth ministry, children's and nursery, and then the worship teams. The worship team and the sound room. Okay, so those are the positions. So if you're looking for something to do and something in there just goes, that's life for me. Well, we're happy to have you. So this is unified in Christ. Everybody playing their position. Remember that the two words that we were referring to for the gathering's mission statement. The first was the unified. Second is intimacy. Now, this word intimacy, God bless you, can mean a few different things. But today, let's focus on the primary meaning, intimacy. Again, consulting Oxford, intimacy is defined as a close familiarity or friendship, a closeness. If you plan to hang around here, I hope you're planning to be seeking personal intimacy with the Lord. To me, there is no greater pursuit, and therefore, much of our focus will be toward intimacy. Now, one of the ways we do this is with the Communion with God course. I was talking with Don Weber yesterday, and the first class starts September 18th. If you're not signed up, but you're eager to explore this thing about the growing closer, I mean truly closer, truly intimately with the Lord, then you'd show up there on September 18th and they'll hook you up with the registration and how all that works. What time?
7 o'clock.
September 18th. When we accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, that wasn't supposed to be the end of our relationship with Him. You see, God wants us not just to have life, but He wants us to have it more abundantly. He wants us to walk with Him and have the most intimate relationship you have ever had. And that means clearing out the junk we had when we first came to the Lord. The Lord's eager to do that. He's in the house cleaning. James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." So step out and dedicate yourself to having a closer walk with the Lord. You are the bride of Christ. Yes, you men, you are the bride of Christ also. And I was asking the Lord what He'd like me to say to you veterans about having an intimate relationship with Him. And I immediately sensed this longing in His heart for you. And I sensed that His words were this: "They are my bride, and I want to have an intimate relationship with them." So, if you feel as though you haven't had an invitation, you know, from Him before about this, consider yourself served. You got one now. I want to read something to you from the Song of Solomon. It's chapter 2. You can turn there if you like. Okay, now, Song of Solomon, probably one of the least quoted books in Scripture. And perhaps this is because of the content of the text, but it's also because of the debate over how it should be interpreted. Song of Solomon, by the way, is right after Ecclesiastes, I believe. Okay, should this book be treated as an allegory of God's relationship with His people, or should it be interpreted literally as a passionate expression between two young lovers? Well, I tend to favor the latter interpretation myself, but I think it's appropriate to consider the allegorical interpretation as well. Okay, that's the biggest word I'm going to have for today. When it came out of my mouth, I was like, boy, that was, wow. Okay, recall then in Ephesians, Paul does a similar thing in comparing the relationship of Christ and the body of Christ with the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. Okay, with that said, let's consider this passage from the perspective of God beckoning us. Okay, this is what it says. This is 2:14. "My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." I really like the imagery here. Is it not like us to be like that dove and to hide from the Lord, you know, for whatever reason, you know, because, you know, we may have sinned, or maybe we're just simply embarrassed because we haven't come and talked to the Lord in such a long time. You know, we just feel embarrassed to go to Him. But, you know, to the Lord doesn't matter. The Lord is longing for us. He is wooing us. "Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." That's the Lord talking to us. I like that. The Lord wants us, no matter what we've done, He wants us. He wants us to come out of our hiding place. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to see our face. So just like when we received the gift of Jesus Christ, we did so of our own free choice. We made that choice. And in like fashion, each day, we have a choice. We can choose to be intimate with Him, or we can choose to just kind of get on with our busy day. We have the choice to draw near to God. Each day the Lord is waiting for us. He is hoping against hope that we will choose to come to Him and spend a little time with Him. So the choice is ours. What's it going to be? As we conclude, I want to take a second to review the mission statement of the gathering. One growing and diverse family, unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. My prayer for you, the veterans, even if you're here for the first time, for you, the veterans, is unity by stepping up and playing your position, and that you would step to new heights as you enter into genuine intimacy with the Lord. You have any words? Nothing? Brandon? Are you prepared to share your word that you had from July 11th? Here, I got it for you. I'd like you to read this one. Brandon, in his journaling, came up with some, I felt, meaningful words. And I'd like you to just read that first one, Brandon, if you would.
I've been journaling over what the Lord was telling me and thinking about what we were going through as a church in our change from one service to two, and I wrote this down. I'm brooding over the gathering. This is the Lord talking to me. As a hen protects her eggs as they mature, it hasn't hatched yet, but I can see the motion, see the growth, the readiness to burst forth. I created this plan that you are all creating. It's my work, even as you scurry around trying to pull the strings and make things fall into just the right shape. And just as I created the plans, I will cause the birth and growth to take place, even as you do the busy work. Never forget this. When you tire of the work, realize that it's not your work that sustains and moves your church or this new service. It's my Spirit. I have plans for the gathering, and I will be faithful to accomplish what my hand has set in motion. While you do have many tasks to accomplish, I will be faithful to give you the resources and strength that you need. So relax and rest in me, even as a chick can rest under its mother's warm wings. You know, we work and we work and we work, and in the end, it's really not us that gets the work done. We do what we're supposed to, but God is the one who makes the tree grow, makes the hen hatch its chicks. All those things are not our doing.
Thank you, Brandon. Last week, we got together for a little prayer time, some of the team members. And as I was praying, I got the sense that there was a storm coming. Not a big one, but a storm for the express purpose of stirring, of shaking things up. Kind of like, well, it was very appropriate because it was kind of like the storm that we had last week of Tropical Storm Ernesto. It was kind of like that. It wasn't a massive storm, but it was one that would kind of, you know, just kind of stir things up a bit, sort of shake things up a bit. And I have been praying for a storm of people to come next week. And this will mean we need to be preparing. And this may be inconvenient at times. The ministry, being in ministry, often is. But the encouragement is this, and it's in 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." So we have a work to do in the kingdom. Each one of us, we are exhorted to be strong and courageous and remember that he will never fail us or forsake us. I'm going to open the altar. Do we have any ministers for ministering? Okay. I want to invite you, if you're interested in a more intimate relationship with the Lord. The theme this year at Prague is changing your lifestyle. And so I want to encourage you to change your lifestyle by choosing genuine intimacy with the Lord. So if that's you, if you're like, oh man, I'm just going around in circles. I'm like a dog chasing my tail. Don't know where I want to go with this whole thing with the Lord. If you're looking for some real genuine intimacy and you're looking to commit your life in that direction, and you're looking for some prayer over that, then the altar's open for you. Next, if you have some emotional distress, something that has truly been eating at you. Last week, I think it was described as a broken having a broken heart, something that is just truly getting you down, that is frustrating you, that is maddening you, that is just eating at you, that may be keeping you from your intimacy with the Lord, then the altar is open for you. And finally, for physical healing, are there people here who are in some sort of physical pain right now? Raise your hand, please. Okay, we got one. Anyone else? Two, three, four. Okay. We'll deal with that too. So the altar is open for each of you. So I invite you to please come forward. Ministers, please come up now to be available for them. Oh, yeah, one last thing. There is a reception after this downstairs. Coffee and donuts are available, and just to hang out, and we can get to know one another a little bit better. For you newcomers, we invite you to stay for a little bit.
Matters but you, Lord Jesus, but you. Nothing else matters, nothing else matters but you, Lord Jesus, but you. Your life or mine, it's a